pillow behind your back. Oh my God, really feeling the side of
it. Feels good though. A little support.
And yeah. We are bouncing.
Am I?
One, two, three.
You know, a movie I haven't seen since I was like, I just randomly sang to myself and thought of something. Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
When was the last time you seen Mary Poppins?
I don't know, but for some reason,
on TV.
For some reason, I was singing one of the Mary Poppins songs not that long ago.
Like Spoonful of Sugar? Are you taking medicine?
No, I think I used to sing the, I think it was Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Yeah. Which
that's an even more random one. Hey, I never asked. Speaking of Spoonful of Sugar and medicine, did you ever have any side effects from the shot?
Minimal. I mean,
what, headache or what?
I woke up the next morning because I got it at night. I woke up the next day with a minor headache. My temperature was elevated, but it wasn't high. I was like a degree and a half, 2 degrees higher than I normally am.
Oh, you told me that at Players. Yeah, yeah. That's
and
right.
And then I felt really tired as the day went on.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like heavy. And then once I slept that night, I felt fine.
You were fine. Yeah. I was told some people, it feels like a bad hangover.
Yeah. And some people would get like completely freaking
roasted.
Yeah. Like it's like they've got roasted, basically got the flu. Yeah.
So is everyone just running 4.3s now? Everyone.
Somebody, I don't know who was, it might have been Pete Prisco.
Because they're not at the combine.
Yeah. It's
and
like
all of a sudden, everyone's running a damn 4.3.
Pete Prisco was like, maybe they're doing like Florida State used to do back in the day. And they're cutting a couple yards off of it.
Always.
So. Somebody also said it's like the same way people run better stuff at pro days, the way that like if I take your blood pressure at home versus at the doctor's office, like there's like a pressure thing.
You're just calmer.
Yeah. Well, you're just like in, you're in your own environment.
Your element.
You're familiar. Like there's no reason for anything to really be all that elevated type thing.
Yeah.
I can see a little bit of that.
Know every number I see, I'm adding a couple tenths of a second. Like Justin Fields doesn't run a 4.4. Probably runs like 4.5 flat. No, but he's probably high 4.4 now that I think about it. It's probably not that different.
But again, 40, it's like, when are you just running 40 yards in a straight line?
Yeah.
You're not really.
I love it. If they ever got rid of it, I'd be heartbroken because I've just grown up knowing.
Yeah, you just know it.
Yeah. I'm like, 4.3. Well, like, oh, that guy flies.
It'd be like if batting average was gone in baseball, even though we understand that.
Do you
a
know,
very
I have
stat.
A random name that I'm going to drop in the beginning of this podcast. Are we rolling?
Yeah, we are rolling.
All right. Well, let's just be the open. No, I'm saying
this is the open.
Yeah,
we're talking.
Let's just woo. Okay, so we've opened.
And
I guess here, let's crack beer.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. Scott, leave the beginning in so I can pick up right where I was leaving off.
Yeah.
Back to our just casual opening conversation.
Very dimes on
one of my favorite things that we've been doing. Is, and this is very conversational, we can get more into the pod in a minute, but Sports Bar, shooting the shit, this is what we do here in the Ice Mule Cooler Studios.
It's our thing.
But I've been having so much fun with the random names. Are you
You see people a couple people
it.
Chimed in.
Oh, yeah. Bod sent me a super random one. I'll have to look who it was.
Oh, I got it. Are you ready for who it was? Oh. Ali Farouk-Manesh.
That's right.
You cannot be serious with that shot. That was, I remember that there were random sports moments where you remember exactly where you were. I remember standing in my living room in my house in college being like, wow, is Kansas going to lose in Northern Iowa? And then Farouk-Manesh with the heat check of all heat checks,
deep,
the transition three with no one under the basket to put the game on ice.
I forgot that guy existed.
He's
and then I read it and was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
He's like an assistant coach at Colorado State or something now.
Oh, really?
And he and his family like reenacted it as a joke, I think, during the pandemic last year. They like went to the gym and like they like played the clip underneath and like his kids were involved and they were like, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was cool. It was neat. You know, it was one of those feel good moments early in the pandemic. You're like, and then you remember there was actually no basketball on and you're like,
So the random name that just popped into my head in our casual conversation pre-opener, technically, where we're talking about 4.3s and 40 yard dashes. Do you remember a running back recruit? He did make it to campus. Russell Ball, Florida State running back.
Yeah. I remember Marcus Ball better, but
he was out of Texas.
Russell Ball.
Four-star guy. Came in the Antoine Smith class.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And
super
I was
fast, wasn't he?
That's what I'm saying.
All right,
his 40 was like a 4.31. And I just remember always being like, oh, Antoine Smith's a badass, but this other guy's going to be a game breaker.
Russell Ball, you would sub him in NCAA, right? Because he was unbelievable. He's like 98 in speed. Yeah, it's oh, get him on the outside.
He was the guy you'd run in the I formation on a pitch play or shotgun for a screen.
Or you'd like pull out the random one option play in the playbook and like run that somehow, but pitch it immediately.
Was Xavier Lee in?
Yeah, yeah, true.
If Xavier was there as a freshman, I can't even remember my dates now. Whoever it was, you had your running QB in for that one.
Yeah, I had to. Drew Weatherford wasn't running the option. No, shout out to Mike, too, loyal listener Mike, and sometimes show contributor Mike. He chimed in with another good basketball name, David Isdolkes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, yep. Florida State. Some people acted like he was a three-point specialist, I guess I should say.
Definitely known for the North Carolina game. And
but before that, he always played because he was our three-point guy.
Yeah.
And apparently, he lit it up every practice.
He was a decent winger.
No, he was not decent.
I mean,
he was decent because we didn't have offense back then.
Oh, I don't think he was decent in the fact that, like, oh, he even lived up to what you thought he was. I thought he was 6 foot five.
Yeah.
He actually defended better than you thought.
Oh, he's a good athletic.
Yeah. Played hard. That's what I meant. Like, I didn't mean he was a decent shooter.
Okay.
I meant he was like a decent player all around, but got miscast as like a dude that was knocked down because he did have one really good game.
Well, he'd have random games.
Yeah. And Dickie V selfied with him. Oh, donkeys. Yeah. I need a selfie, baby.
Yeah, come over here. Oh, man. He's a clown.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, Dulkeys was one of those guys that you just wish was on your team as your ninth guy.
Yeah.
To where he'd come in, you'd let him rip a couple. If he was hot, you leave him in. If he's not, you take him out. But he doesn't hurt you bad on defense. You know, it's probably where
there's a reason why there's Florida State teams at a ceiling. And they very much had a ceiling. That's when they were getting.
Kuro White was their best player.
Yeah, Michael Snare.
Yeah,
probably the.
That was the start of the resurrection.
Yeah, I mean those were teams that were good when previous Florida State teams had not been good.
Yeah.
So it was refreshing just to have a good team that was beating North Carolina, beating Duke, competing for ACC championships, making NCAA tournaments, and then of course there was the year that is. Come up in vogue now because everybody's been talking about when was the last team from a first four to make the final four. Of course, that was VCU who beat that Florida State team that was the best of that era that was dealing with the best player. Chris Singleton, remember, goes out with an injury. All of a sudden, the team actually gels better without him. Yep. They had to try and kind of reinsert him into the lineup, but they were a very good team, beat, I think, North Carolina or Notre Dame. And then I don't remember who they beat second round, but lost it in the Sweet 16 and OT to a VCU team that went on to the Final Four. And a lot of people thought that they could have been a Final Four team if they had won that game.
Yeah, that was good memory there. Real good pool. I forgot about the Chris Singleton.
That was my last, I was really invested in Florida State basketball year because, I don't know, I really like Chris Singleton.
You know, I loved Chris Singleton because of what I thought he could be.
He was the first, huge recruit part of that resurrection.
Yeah, we had Snare.
Snare
was a McDonald's All-American. Yeah. Then we got Singleton. Then we got Okoro White, Solomon Alibi, all five stars. I mean, who did I just name? Okoro White or Okoro, whatever.
Okoro White, yeah.
Yeah. Played on the Heat up until he might be there now still. Started a couple games recently. Like, he's one of those guys that's so athletic and so much of a project. He's still kind of peaking, which upward trajectory is all you want in anything.
That was back when Leonard just recruited athletes and it was just like, go play. And they just played great D and then slowed the game down.
He focused on defense and then they could score if they went out and ran. But if you had them in a half court offense where they had to set up, everyone passed outside the arc and that was it because no one could shoot.
Mm-hmm. Us perfectly to Florida State basketball this year. I
was just going to say it too. I was like, we just bullshitted about 06 FSU for some reason.
No, that was 2011.
I know.
But it felt like this year's team had elements of that.
It was the
era.
First team we've had since the Jonathan Isaac, Dwayne Bacon team, which was 2014 now? Since that time frame where I felt like we were looking at an old Leonard Hamilton team.
That was later than that.
Beasley, Bacon.
What, Beasley 15? And Bacon were earlier. Isaac was a little bit later. No, Isaac was 17.
He played with them.
No, not Beasley. Beasley was gone.
Beasley left.
He left early. Bacon stayed.
He was a one and done, surprisingly, and Bacon stayed, surprisingly. Yeah.
Good.
Supposed to be a reverse.
Good guy, Malik Beasley.
Yeah, Malik Beasley.
Yeah. Strike him from the
guy out of the Leonard Hamilton crew where you can say
bad dude.
Everyone's been good. Beasley's just kind of a bad dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, definitely unstable. Not Leonard's fault. Like definitely he was, definitely had issues underlying. But this year's group ran into they played very much better offensively as we've documented at home.
Oh,
the NCAA tournament ran
not even
in
the same team.
Yeah, the NCAA tournament, they were able to kind of batten down the hatches, play hard D, outlast a couple of teams for the first two rounds, and then ended up in a situation where they had to be able to score in the half court, and they were unable to do
it. So the problem with this team and the reason they were so hard to read slash bet on as the year went on, because they were a different team in the beginning of the season, a team that I really liked, a team that I thought – I told you could make it to a Final Four, probably would make it to an Elite Eight. And I mean, wasn't outlandish. They were one game away from doing it. But once we saw, well, I'm not watching a old Bengals Browns
that was a great
Thursday
game.
Night game.
You remember that game? Yeah, that was Baker and Joe Burrow were dueling back and forth.
Oh, that's right.
Well, it was actually one of the better Thursday night games.
Fine, we can watch it.
I mean, we don't have to watch that.
So in our Ice Mule Coolers
I already
studios.
Watched it once.
They have a Thursday night Bengals versus Browns game on week two. Okay.
Week
all right,
two,
we'll
yeah.
check it out. Let's
all
do
right,
it.
Whatever.
A little football.
Yeah, sure.
So back to the Florida State basketball game and basketball team. They had so much similarities to the old Florida State style where they played defense finally, because in the beginning of this year, they didn't play good defense. But those turnovers, we should have known, were not slowing down. They don't have a point guard to run the offense through, so we didn't have a way to alleviate that problem. I bitched about it on this podcast. We didn't have a point guard.
And it's not even so much a point. It's just a ball handler, like someone you trust. Because in today's basketball, you don't necessarily always need a point guard. You can have
well, we need
a wing
to run
that
the
handles
offense
well.
Through
somebody
that
needs
can
to,
handle
right.
the ball and dish it.
You need a primary ball handler, and you need an initiator. And sometimes it's the same person, and sometimes it's not. But Florida State was lacking both. It's not like they didn't have guys that could dribble, but it was just like they sometimes had guys that couldn't dribble. I mean, they had some turnovers in that Michigan game in which it's like a guy just trying to do a dribble handoff on the wing and it ends up as a giveaway. Like it
and
was
our
very surprising.
Into the post were despicable, but you know, it was a team that I'm proud of the way they did it. I felt like we clunked our way into the Sweet 16. It just never felt like, man, we finally hitting it. We look good. You know, Colorado, the first half was painful. And then the second half, we saw glimpses of what we thought we should be. But this team is just very lacking at the guard position. I mean, you have Raekwon Gray at forward. You have Scotty Barnes at forward. You have Balsa at center, Koprivica. These are big guys that can play, that are long, that can defend, that can pass, that can handle the ball from a, and I just bitch about handling, I mean, handling the ball for a forward. Scotty Barnes has great vision. He doesn't have great handles. He can't handle like a point guard.
It's tough because he's so big. Yeah.
Yeah. And he had a shit ton of turnovers, man.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a freshman. And sometimes those turnovers are contagious, right? Like one guy turns it over and then everybody speeds up and starts turning it over type issue. And that's, Florida State ran into a kind of a buzzsaw there. Michigan played its best game of the tournament, too.
So here's something fun in a silver lining to ponder on. And I have to give credit to the idea that sparked this is Jeff Cameron. You know, I listen to him religiously, 97.9 ESPN in Tallahassee. But what I took away from what he said the other day is Koprivica just smoked a bug. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was impressive.
Hand-eye coordination on
as
10 right
as
there.
You talk about big men blocking shots.
Oh, yeah, man. These hands. You want these hands? He brought up the idea that Raekwon Gray may come back. Koprivica may come back. We know Shedar Calhoun is going to come back. Assuming he takes a jump, the athleticism's there. I mean, my God, Calhoun's probably our best athlete on the football or basketball team.
Yeah.
He's a freaking bunny. And then you look at, MJ Walker better go. I'm done watching him. He's fine. Great Noel. Glad he was there. It's not a guy you want to be your number one or number two player. So you look at this team and this roster and what they're bringing in, they next year could be sky's the limit type year.
And that's what a lot of these teams that probably scuffled through a few things this year will be hoping with a regular offseason, with a regular season, without COVID pauses, pieces can be put back together. And at the end of the day, it's another Sweet 16 banner for a basketball program that doesn't have a ton of history. It's not Kentucky. It's not UCLA. It's not Indiana, you know? So for Florida State, a program in which basketball was third for a long time, it's just a testament to how you can invest and good things happen and trust a coach, which not everybody should do, but it worked out in this situation for Florida State.
I agree. Well, I'm looking forward to next year. I don't have much else to say about the Michigan game. It was disgusting, whether it was the refs or the way we turned the ball over or all the fouls we may or may not have committed. And I'm not blaming the game on the refs. Florida State couldn't buy a shot. So combine not playing well, playing like dog shit, honestly, and then combining that with the refs being a little bit one-sided, even if it's minor, it's enough to where they're going to the line a ton. Raekwon Gray gets in foul trouble. Scotty Barnes gets in foul trouble. You're not going to win like that. And Sweet 16, I'm happy about it. I used to beg for the days where I could say, I hope our team makes it to the Sweet 16.
Second weekend,
when I was watching Jason Rich and Isaiah Mims and
Ralph Mims, Isaiah Swan.
Well, Isaiah Swan, yeah. Ralph Mims. Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those teams were awesome, though. The everything about them. So anyway, I'm proud of the program.
Kasan Breeden. Man.
Oh, I forgot all about him.
So some deep dives on Florida State basketball.
Yeah,
there.
More random names. Yeah. Isaiah Mims. What was
you're a real Florida State fan if you can remember guys from the mid-2000s that aren't named Al Thornton, because he was the only guy that
Al
was any
Thornton
good.
Was my favorite
Al Thornton
player.
Was awesome.
I loved Vaughn Wafer, but
Vaughn Wafer, yeah. He was too much of a me guy.
Right.
He was about his, which is why he ended up going to the league and playing pretty well for a couple of years. But I think that the program got better when Von Wafer bounced.
Isaiah Mims, I can't
find. Ralph Mims.
I mean,
it's
Ralph
Isaiah
Mims,
Swan.
That's killing me.
And Jason Rich, yeah. Those are fun teams. Fun teams. Are you looking up?
I just want to see those jerseys. I just miss that old school FSU.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right, so
but we do have more basketball to watch. The season's not over. March Madness is not over.
Let's get to the Final Four. First and foremost, congratulations to the Cincinnati Bearcats. I can't wait to see them raise the banner next year. The Mick Cronin, our former coach, but always coach, coached a Final Four team. So congrats to Bearcat fans everywhere, because I know they were very excited to see Mick getting it done with the program that wasn't there. He has now matched his win total.
I thought about you today, Scott, with that. I was like, I wonder if Scott hates Mick Cronin.
It's one of those deals. It's Steve Spurrier when he was with South Carolina.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Like, he can't hurt me anymore. So I now can look at him through a lens of, I don't like the guy, but I find him entertaining from a third-party viewpoint type deal. That's what I see with Mick Cronin. Like, I was laughing at his antics last night, thinking, like, how I used to get worked up about him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, because he doesn't coach against Xavier anymore. And he's not smack talking them from the team across town. So it's funny in that regard, but UCLA makes a Final Four under Mick Cronin, who has won as many games this year in the NCAA tournament as he won his entire NCAA tournament tenure at Cincinnati. So how about that? 5 wins.
Somehow I knew you would have those stats. God, look how sick those jerseys were.
Ooh, yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Little Ralph Mims.
That's real throwback right there.
Former Brunswick. I didn't know he's a Brunswick, Georgia guy.
Right across the border, man.
Oh, Ralph Mims. I was there yesterday.
Close, yeah.
It really
close.
Was.
UCLA, the biggest surprise. Gonzaga and Baylor, the two least surprises. And then Houston, the one that shouldn't be a surprise, but I think is a surprise for a lot of people. Would that be a fair characterization of this?
Yeah. No, I mean,
the Gonzaga Baylor deal, we all expected this to happen.
Yep.
They were the two best teams all year, and boom, here they are in the Final Four. I'm glad that happened, because we should, in this wacky tournament, have gotten two of the best teams, at least in the final four.
Yep. I mean, the system is supposed to work itself out to eventually the chalk rising.
Right.
And two of the four did that.
Now, I'm going to stand by my take on Houston being overrated.
Yeah, I need to call you out for that. You said Houston was going to lose to Cleveland State week one. Here they are.
I did.
On the verge of a national title appearance.
I did. Here's where I'll defend that. Cleveland State played them tough in the first half. No, I'm not going to defend that one. They obviously ran away from Cleveland State. That was a bad pick. I picked the wrong 15 seed to advance. I had not watched Oral Roberts play. I'd watched Cleveland State play several times. They should have lost to Rutgers in the second round.
If Rutgers
doesn't pee down their leg, then they win the game. Like, they lost it more than Houston won it. In who they play in the Sweet 16? Syracuse.
Syracuse couldn't shoot.
This is what happens with Syracuse. The zone gets them through. The first two rounds,
the season, there's things you can guarantee with Syracuse in March Madness. They'll be an 11 seed. They'll get hot.
They'll make a Sweet 16.
Yeah, the zone will give people trouble, and then they will
stop making shots.
Can't shoot.
They looked like Syracuse did all season in the Sweet 16. Couldn't shoot. And Houston, credit to them, play good defense, advance.
100%.
Oregon State. Now, if you want to talk about a team that should have some gripe with the officiating, the end of that Oregon State-Houston game, Houston was running them out of the gym. Oregon State rallies with an unbelievable second half rally.
I had the spread there, as you know.
Yes.
And
you were fired.
Oh my God. I couldn't believe it. When I flipped it on, I was like, damn, I lost this one. And I just had it on in the background.
That's exactly what it was. I was like, and then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a second. It's 8, it's 6, it's 4. This game's tied. And there were a couple of calls down the stretch there. The jump ball under the basket where the guy got where their best player Thompson gets tripped and falls to the ground, and then a dude jumps on top of him and they call a jump ball, and so Houston gets it. And then the clean strip on the other end where they rewarded the foul, I was like, oh, brutal. But you know, Oregon State, their magic was going to run out eventually. But like, they're the first team to ever make a Final Four beating four straight double digit seeds.
I mean, you want to talk about magic running out, I thought UCLA's magic would have run out before the tournament even started. If you remember our first trifecta of the tournament where we said, let's pick three basketball games. I'll do the play-ins. Why not? I picked Michigan State. Yeah. I mean, that game went to the final.
Yeah, I mean, UCLA was down double digits.
Didn't it
and
go
came
to
back
overtime?
And, yes.
Yeah.
UCLA won.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's incredible how there are so many sliding doors moments in an NCAA tournament where it's like, if this goes a little bit differently, how does that affect this and then this? But it, you know, credit these teams that have made it this far. Let's go ahead and dive in a little bit here. I do want to, before we, I guess, get into what we think is going to happen, UCLA, there is something interesting about this, right? We have four coaches that have never won a national championship, so we're guaranteed to get a first-time national champion. We have an entire Western, you could say, Final Four. I mean, everybody's west of the Mississippi that is playing in the Final Four. That's never been done before. Two teams from the state of Texas in the Final Four, never been done before. I mean, this is maybe the most appropriate type deal, the way this tournament, this year,
this season,
all this unprecedented BS to end up with one of the wackiest. I mean, this is a Final Four that isn't quite as crazy as the one that JU played in back in 1970, which was St. Bonaventure, Jacksonville University, New Mexico State, and UCLA. The other three teams, it was the one and only Final Fours those programs have made.
Did they do
history.
March Madness back then?
Yeah.
How long is March Madness
been? Well, I'm actually reading in that book, referencing the same book I referenced on the show last week. It started back in the 40s. The National Invitational Tournament was first, the NIT. Then there was another tournament, which was called something slightly different. And then the NCAA was like, whoa, people are getting watches and gifts and stuff. This is the first classic like NCAA thing, right? They're like, oh, people are getting gifts at the NIT. We can't have that. So they started their own tournament. So basically to protect amateurism.
How did it? Yeah.
And here we are years later, still dealing with the same BS at the NCAA.
How did it get surpassed then? The NIT, how did it get surpassed by Like, what school would go to that?
So it got to the point where, schools would choose. Like, you get invites to both.
Why would you choose NCAA over NIT?
I don't know at which point it started to swing, but at one point it started to swing. And I think it may have just been the way that, the teams that were choosing it. It's like, oh, hey, like, this whole group of good teams is going to go, so we're going to go to a thing. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of like a follow the leader type deal in that. I maybe I'll get to that point in the book here by next week.
Yeah, can report you back to me. It's like a book report.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Due next week.
Exactly.
I need to know.
But yeah, the NIT was huge up through the 50s. I mean, it was basically like even up through the 50s, and then the NCAA tournament moved past in the 60s, and then, you know, never
and now
back.
They get as many viewers as, I don't know. Blacklist. Is Blacklist a good show? I just see commercials for it all the time.
It gets more views than that, by the way.
Does it? Do they
yeah.
get? Does it rate pretty good?
These are the highest rated Sweet 16 games they've had.
No, NIT.
Oh, the NIT. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about.
Oh,
no,
sorry,
no, no,
sorry.
No, no, no.
Yeah, no, it probably
tournament.
Rates.
I'm saying the NIT. It's
it probably rates less than Big Bang Theory.
That's a show I have never liked.
No. It's a show for. I'm going to get myself in trouble here.
Oh, I like this. Go there.
The show is about smart people, right? But so I feel nerds? Like it's like, but I feel like it's like about, it like makes nerdy stuff funny for people that aren't all that smart.
Dumb it down for.
Yeah. And it's like,
For the plebs.
Yeah. The plebs.
Plebs.
Yeah.
See, so maybe I'm a plebe.
That's appropriate. Hey, do you like the I know you've had a busy week or so getting ready for the new little one to show up here, but did you like at least the concept of the different times here as opposed to stacking up primetime Thursday and Friday Sweet 16 games and then Elite Eight on the weekend? We went Sweet 16 in their own windows on the weekend, Elite Eight in their own windows on Monday and Tuesday.
So I did like that part of it, but I hate the late tips.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I actually didn't mind the Monday, Tuesday ordeal. I don't know how they would alleviate that, but I hate a 9:50 tip.
It's brutal.
That's not even fair.
I stayed up to watch the end of the UCLA Michigan game.
You watched the whole thing?
I punted on the night before. I punted and went to bed early saying, I'm going to stay up for tomorrow night's game because I'm more interested
in
that one.
You had to literally choose.
I had to choose one.
What was that game the night before?
It was the Oregon-US.
Oregon-USC. Yep. Yep.
No. Can't have been. That was on Sunday. What was the night before? Was
oh yeah, Baylor versus
it was Baylor
Arkansas.
Baylor Arkansas. I watched till halftime.
Baylor Arkansas. I was in bed. They said okay, and tip off after this. Never made it. Never made it.
I made it to halftime. Saw my guy JD Notte go on a hot streak. At one point, he scored like 7 unanswered. And I woke up the next morning and Baylor had pulled away. And it wasn't a very close game. So I picked the right one because I picked the one that went down to the wire. And it was, but it was midnight.
Yeah.
It was midnight. I was like, I shouldn't have to stay up till midnight on a Tuesday to watch the end of an Elite Eight game.
I love what Big Cat and PFT say on part of my take. We're like, think about the kids.
Yeah, yeah. On a school night.
Yeah, what kid on a school night is able to stay up like, you can't let your kids stay up that late.
It's true, though. Don't you remember, like, never seeing the end of major sporting events when you were growing up?
When I was little, the game I always remember is Xavier Lee started. You were at my house for the first half. It was Miami versus Florida State, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. When we used to play them on Labor Day weekend.
It was Labor Day weekend. And was it Brian Monroe that... Was that the our guy? Oh
yeah.
Man, I forgot.
No, Xavier Lee didn't start that one. That was the muff snap game.
Well, then
was
I watched
Drew Weatherford play the whole game. Him and Kyle Wright. It was
I
supposed to be
that
a great.
One. What was the?
We did start watching that one at your house, and I listened to the end of the game on the radio because I couldn't even stay up.
Yeah,
watch. I
remember I
wasn't
you telling
to.
Me that there was one with Willie Jones that I remember. We both had our Willie Jones Jr.
Yeah,
Jones
yeah. It might have been the next year because we played him again the next year.
Yeah. All I know is I stayed up, and my parents sent me to bed. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and my dad was still up in the morning. And I was like, did we win? I'm so excited to figure it out. He's like, no, we lost. I'm like, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
The,
But yeah, my dad used to always tell me, like, tell me what happened in the second half. Because I didn't get to watch it.
The national championship games that Florida State played in, that the three in a row, 98, 99, 2000, didn't watch the end of any of them. Had to go to bed.
So I remember 2000 vividly also, and here's how I remember it. My mom was cooking dinner, or she was doing dishes, and I was sitting up at the little bar when we had a tiny little TV up there. My dad was at the game that we played Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. Mm. And I remember
brutal.
The reason I was so locked in the game is I wanted to see him on TV. I was like, every time they panned over, I'm looking for dad.
Where is
he? And then I went to bed, and I remember waking up and asking my mom if we won. And she's like, no, basically dad's going to be pissed because the offense was terrible.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the way she put it was just like, oh, no, Florida State couldn't score. I'm like, oh, okay.
I woke up the next morning fully anticipating to be briefed that Florida State had won another national championship because they should have, because they were a better team. And then I was brushing my teeth, and I think my mom came in and broke the news to me too. And I was just like, no.
Yeah.
I talked so much smack at school that week too. I was 10 years old. I was like, yeah, Oklahoma, they don't stand a chance. Yeah. They're terrible. And then we didn't score any points with the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. So how about that? This is a bit of a, you know, East Coast is the worst time zone for sports. I'll contend that, and I'll take that to my grave.
What do you think's best? Central?
Yes.
Okay.
That 1 hour makes all the difference.
Totally
I don't want stuff starting in the middle of the day, like on the West Coast, but to get that hour back, to have gone bed last night at 11 instead of midnight, it's a huge difference.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference.
It's big. When I go to Pensacola to visit my wife's family, I love watching sports there, especially college football during the week. I mean, weekends during the season, 11 a.m. kicks.
Hey,
I mean, you finish up, breakfast, you pour a Bloody Mary, you hang out back in the sun for a little bit. They live on the water. So,
Yeah. It is ironic, too, in the fact that these late tip times, this is the whole tournament is being played in the Eastern time zone. Think of how brutal this is on the fans there, on the player. I mean, it's crazy. They tipped off at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. That's miserable as a player.
I think that may have some impact on the way these games are going. Like, these teams not being super crisp.
You know,
you played a lot of basketball in a short period of time, I know. And, like, getting your body – and I know college kids can do things at all hours of the day. But just, like – you're out of a rhythm. You don't play basketball games at 10 p.m. normally.
Well, I played in a league just 4 or 5 years ago now, and we had tips at 7, 8, or 9. So each – you had two games a week or one game a week. I can't remember. And the tip-offs were different depending on what your schedule was like. And I remember the 9 p.m.s are super hard because you have to plan out eating properly. You have to plan out – because you can't not eat before – but you can't eat close to playing a basketball game. And
you got
to
go.
Crazy.
Yeah,
that was back when I had two ACLs. Those are the
two
days.
Functioning ACLs.
Two functioning. Yeah. No, I think my ACL is literally not around anymore.
You think it just disintegrated
because
it was
unattached? It's kind of like an Achilles. We need someone that knows. I think it's like an Achilles to where, like, when it ruptures,
it just rolls up
in a way to where that's why when I get it redone, they're giving me an option. I can do a cadaver. Or I can pull something off my ass or hamstring or something, and they can stretch it out. I think I literally bursted it. Like, it just is not – like, it's just a tendon that's no longer in there.
Okay, yeah.
Or in there somewhere. It's not like it disintegrated.
Do you have a preference on either your ass or your hamstring going in there?
I mean, I have a great ass, you know? No, I don't know. I'll let them tell me whatever one's
stronger. You got a little time to figure that out.
I'll let a cute nurse walk in. Guy or girl, it's 2021.
Yeah. You know?
Handsome fella.
Hey, man, if a man rocket walks in, you gotta be like, hey, respect.
Hey, man, you like my ass? That'd go great. All right. So anyway, we just redrafted, if you will, or picked. That's what we did. We re-bracketed our Sweet 16. What
we
was
did.
Your final four? I can't remember.
We said Gonzaga.
Yes.
So we got that right. We said Michigan.
Yeah.
We got that wrong. We said Baylor. We got that right.
Okay. Because we were in agreeance.
Yes. And then we had Loyola Chicago. We got that very wrong. That game, by the way, the worst game of the tournament.
Oh, no offense.
For a game that was close. I should say. Quote unquote close. I mean, there were some blowouts that were worse.
I have a confession for you.
That was brutal to watch.
I have a confession. I have not watched it. I didn't realize this till today because I didn't realize I was going to need to be logging the hours on this team. I've not watched a dribble of UCLA Bruins basketball.
Really?
A dribble, Scott. How crazy is that?
I'm trying to think if there's any team.
They're always on late.
Yeah.
And I just am, I'm done by then. Or when they were playing in the opening rounds and they're on another, that's the last game I was going to watch. I was like, oh, UCLA blows. I think I used that exact quote when I said I'm going to pick Michigan State.
I've actually watched, I think, at least part of every game the UCLA's played in.
I don't know a single. Because
they played BYU in the first round and beat them. And I watched, that was a late game, you're right. And I watched the first half and went to bed. And then who do they beat in the second round?
BYU?
No, they beat BYU in the first round after beating Michigan State in the first four.
Yeah, that's right. It was
but I don't know if I watched their second round game or not, but I did watch some of the Sweet 16 because I watched a lot of the Sweet 16. That Alabama game was great. I watched that one to the end. And then, of course, I watched all the Michigan game. And actually, I missed the first half of the UCLA Michigan game. I was working, but
so they played Abilene Christian.
Oh yeah,
beat them by 20.
We were here watching Florida State that.
That's
night,
exactly
so
right.
We did not watch any of that game. It wasn't any good.
Yep, that's exactly
all right.
Right.
So that's the only one I haven't watched.
And then
at
they
least
beat
a half
Bama.
Off.
Didn't watch that.
That was a really good game.
Sunday, March 28th.
OT for that Bama game.
That was
you've seen the highlight, right? Of the three
so
by Reed, the force OT.
I had a meeting in Tallahassee. So we were at a bar, and I kept seeing the score, but I wasn't watching the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Great
crazy
game. Great game. All right, so what do you think for this Final Four? We got two of the four. Do the upstarts have a chance, or are we destined for a Baylor-Gonzaga final?
I think we finally are going to have some chalk, and it's gonna settle down.
I agree
it's
with you.
It's going to be Gonzaga
and because I agree with
versus
you,
Baylor.
It's not going to happen because we're agreeing on it.
Well, again, we both hate Houston.
Yeah, I mean, Houston's time has run out, and not unfortunately. I don't know why I said that. But I think for UCLA, it has run out too because now, if you're a UCLA fan, you got to be feeling pretty good about like they're going to return everybody next year and get their best player who's missed half the season due to injury.
ACL, right?
Chris Smith, yeah. And get more five stars. I mean, McCrone is doing a pretty darn good job there so far.
Is he recruiting well?
Yeah.
Is he? Okay. Yeah.
I mean.
Well, good. UCLA is supposed to be good.
Yeah. And so this Final Four has, like I started saying earlier, it has a good feel to it because it's got the new blood, which is Gonzaga. It's got the breakthrough team, which is Baylor. Like finally, they've been knocking at the door for a while, but here they are in the Final Four. It's got the old guard, which is back after a long layoff in Houston. And then it's got UCLA, one of the true blue bloods of the sport, back in a competitive nature. And I know they had to do it as an 11 seed, but respect to them for being able to get it done.
So I guess the real question here is, do we think Baylor can beat Gonzaga, and will they? I think that's really the main question.
Can they? Yes.
Love their guard play.
Can they? Yes. They have they've rediscovered their mojo here in this NCAA tournament. They're starting to defend again at a higher level, and they're scoring the rock pretty darn well. Will they?
I love Mitchell, man. I love watching Mitchell play. He plays his ass off on defense, and when he decides to go to the rack, the way he explodes is like a running back or a slot receiver. Like the way he comes out of a break looks like a football player.
You don't love Mayer? The guy with the mullet?
Oh, no, I like him.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
I just like Mitchell way better.
The,
why do you not like
him? No, I was just, oh, I just okay, couldn't believe yeah. you didn't bring
no,
him.
No, I
first.
Like him. I thought he was awesome in the game. Oh, God, what'd they do? In the second round, they played someone. What, Wisconsin. I bet on them with the spread and was against Wisconsin, and he single-handedly saved my spread. Loved it.
Yeah. I just have a hard time not thinking that we're headed for an inevitability, both with our final. I just hope it's a great game. Like, I'd love to see one come down to the wire. But, like, Gonzaga hasn't played a close game yet. That's how good they are. The spread is 14 against UCLA. And as I was saying to you before we started recording this, that's a huge, that's got to be one of the largest, if not the largest Final Four spread of all time. And I don't think anybody's would be feel shocked at all if they covered it.
No, yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Like, I'd like to see what the spread was when George Mason played Florida in the 06 Final Four. I'd like to see what the spread was even when Loyola Chicago was in there a couple of years ago against, was it Michigan?
Yeah,
they played. And yeah, I'd be curious as to what those, how close those are to that. But Gonzaga and Baylor, honestly, I want to see those two teams play.
Oh, that's at this point, the last thing you want to see is UCLA Houston. The last thing I want to see
in the 80s
is Houston Gonzaga. Gonzaga would smoke them.
Yeah, I don't think
it would be horrible.
Yeah, I'd like to see what potentially sets up as the best matchup at the final, because at the end of the day, when the final comes, you don't want any more of the wackiness or the crazy. You just want the best basketball game possible. And sometimes it's impossible. Sometimes you get like Villanova in 2018, and they were just going to destroy everybody that got in their path that year. It didn't matter.
That's which may be this Gonzaga team. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And that may be the same thing. We may, no matter who they draw, they'll win by double figures, and that's that. And then you tip your cap, and you say, wow, they were just really darn good. But the concept of maybe getting, you know, your Memphis, Kansas from 08 final, like you want to get moments like that. That are great moments that create memories that go down in the history of March Madness that they're showing the replays of for years, like the Mario Chalmers shot.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's...
It's one of the biggest shots in NCAA history.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're looking for when it all comes down to it. So I hope we end up with that Baylor-Gonzaga matchup. And
can I do a quick cold as ice?
Yeah, sure.
The Florida Gators basketball team is cold as ice. Not only did they lose to Oral Roberts, they've now lost four transfers. Four.
Well, they lost one of their assistant
coaches. And Trey Mann. And yeah, they did. Scott, nice. Yeah, well, bring it up. Okay, hold on. Before you bring it up,
it's a part of it.
For a little shout out to the Finns, Trey Mann goes to the league.
Yep.
They lose four transfers. Doesn't look like these guys are, I mean, he's a 3.8 guy. He's a bench player. So big deal. They lost that, but they don't have a bench now. They literally don't have anyone.
Yeah, and that's part of the, that's happening all across the landscape of college basketball this year. Granted, going into the portal doesn't.
Transfer portal, an assistant gone for a head coaching opportunity, and Colin Castleton testing the NBA market.
But the transfer portal is like testing the NBA waters now. You sit there, you vote your name out there, you see if you get a better bite, and if not, you try and come back.
You try to come back. That doesn't mean that.
Doesn't mean you're always going to take you back. But I think at the lower levels, you'll be welcomed more back than you would be at the higher levels. Because if a player at JU puts his name into the portal hoping that Florida calls, you know, nobody's going to blame that guy if Florida calls. But if Florida's guy goes in and all of a sudden is like, I'm going to Louisville, it's like, okay.
I do want to make sure you know I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Disruption, dismay. I want it in shambles, especially when Florida State loses in the Sweet 16 and they're making tournaments. We're making tournaments. Got to stay ahead of them.
Part of the game. All right, on that note, I'd like to pivot to our Waller of the Week. We haven't had one of these in a while. Waller of the Week this week belongs to Kim Mulkey, the head coach of the Lady Bears of Baylor. Apparently, she has been a little notorious for her mouth over the years as far as running it is concerned, and I'm not ultra abreast of women's college basketball, so I cannot say that I'm aware of that per se, but she came out and her comments publicly the other night were that because we've gotten to the Final Four, the NCAA should not test anybody the rest of the way, men or women, because it'd be a real shame if somebody popped positive at this point and things got delayed. Alex, this is one of those things, you know, there's things in life where you say, did I say that out loud? You know, this is one of those.
Yeah, that's whoopsie that you want to take back.
You think it, or maybe you're sitting amongst your boys or your gals and you're like shooting the shit. And it's like, you know what, man, you know, it would suck if somebody popped positive in the final four. Probably should just not test.
Yeah, let's just not test. Yeah, so we don't even, hey, if you don't test, you don't know. Ha ha.
You don't sit in a press conference and tell the media that.
No.
Like it's a good idea.
A little bit of me though does respect her. It's like, man, she's just like, this is more important than anything, you know. It's just ridiculous.
She's also had quotes talking about the almighty dollar and how basketball is never going to stop this year because of that and how the NCAA needs it. Again, not wrong, but also inside voice, Kim. Inside voice. And then she also caught COVID throwing a party back in December. So
she just straight up doesn't give a shit about COVID.
Yeah, I mean, consider the part of the country she's in, it is Texas. They were like the first ones to get rid of the mask mandate. They were the first ones to do a lot of things. They're also the slowest to vaccinate people.
Yeah, we're maskless around here these days.
In Jacksonville, yes. Yeah. Well, tomorrow or today when you're listening to this, the mask mandate has been lifted.
Oh, it hasn't been?
Well, they run on a month-by-month basis. It's not just like the 27th of March.
Okay, so he was saying starting
at the
April.
End of the month, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
End of the month. It's not being renewed, in other words. As opposed to being, it's not that it's being lifted, it's just not being renewed.
Yeah.
But individual companies can still.
Yeah, businesses still get to make, which is how it should have been this whole time, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like if the business says, hey, if you want to come here, you can, but wear a mask, wear it, boom. If they say, hey, you don't need one, you're comfortable doing it, go. In my opinion.
Yeah. So here we are, Kim Mulkey, just saying the things that are usually the other things that float around the backs of our minds that don't ever see the light of the day. So she earns Waller of the Week. Second female Waller of the Week? Because the baseball reporter that went on and on about how we had a scheduled preview show talking about the season and we didn't spend a half hour on COVID cancellations and reschedules.
And how it would affect the season.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because that would have been entertaining television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We would love that. Speaking of baseball.
Hey, baseball's right around the corner.
Starting
today, as folks are listening to this.
Yeah, you're right. Thursday.
Yeah, well, happy opening day, everybody.
Yes.
Here's what we're going to do on the Sports Bar Pod, though.
Go Pirates.
Yeah, go O's.
So last time I can say go Pirates.
Today is the last day that you and I are undefeated till the end of the day today, and we'll probably be defeated at the end of the day today as fans because it's likely that both the Pirates and the Orioles will be 0-1. It's just how life goes. Though, I don't know, the Red Sox are kind of a disaster, too, so the Orioles could win that game.
They got rid of everyone, didn't they?
Well, most importantly, they traded Mookie Betts for pennies on the dollar, and now they're just kind of operating with a shell of themselves, which is funny to me. At least if the Yankees are going to be really good, at least the Red Sox aren't too. That makes it a little bit better. Like the Blue Jays and the Rays being the second most competitive teams in those divisions. But anyway, baseball, here we are on a sidetrack note. You know what we're going to do on this show?
What? What do we got planned?
You're gonna
have to give me time to prep for baseball.
We're gonna wait like 2 weeks and then do a baseball preview episode.
Oh, that'll make it way easier for me.
So every team's gonna have played double digit games by then, but that's okay. We're gonna need maybe we're gonna cheat a little bit, get a little feel for it. But honestly, we just want to give our due to basketball and let that play out because college basketball is almost over and we won't be talking about it for a long time.
Hey, draft coming up too. I say it every week.
We got the draft coming up. We got baseball coming up. We got playoffs coming up for hockey and basketball. The world is healing. We are getting back to normal sports schedules. We're not trying to cram everything into one.
Goodell said today that he thinks full stadiums for the NFL season.
I mean, I could see it being a possibility.
We're close.
We're getting there.
Vaccinations
gotta
too.
Keep shots in arms, man. Shots in arms. That's how I'm signing off every episode now.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
We gotta get
think
more
of a random guy.
I'm a fully vaccinated member of this pod. And you are ineligible to be vaccinated at this point, but when you are,
figure it out.
Yeah.
Get one soon.
You'll get it soon. It's been like 60 days for you ish. Yeah. Since you had it?
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till
you gotta wait 90, but
yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, okay, so another month.
So you got another month. So the kid will hopefully be in a rhythm by then, too. But we should go ahead and let people know as well that you may or may not be on this show next week.
That's right.
We're talking national championship game and who our national champion is, depending on how things go with the little one over the course of the next 72 to 7 hours,
really?
To a week. Yeah.
So the day that you're listening to this being Thursday, by next Thursday, he will be here. So I may be able to record on Monday.
Maybe Tuesday.
Tuesday, because we're going to watch the national
championship
title.
Game
right.
on Monday. Yep. So you may be.
My wife's a damn ticking time bomb right now. Like, I'm nervous around her. I'm like, oh, sit upside down, upside down. Like, easy. Keep that man in there.
Whew. Yeah. I can
not
imagine.
That I'm not ready.
No,
it's
no.
Just like
at this
things
point,
like,
yeah. You just don't want it to be like she walks out here right now. It's like my water broke. Like, that'd be bad.
Oh, it'd be a disaster.
Well, that'd be the end of the show.
The problem is, you never get to plan stuff like this in life. So part of me is like, you know what? Saturday'd be a great day. You know, let's go have them Saturday.
Yeah.
So, but you don't get to plan it. And every night when I go to bed, you want a good night's sleep. You just want to sleep through the night. You may even take a little ZQL. The last thing you want to do is get 2 hours into your little ZQL slumber, free ad for ZQL, and wake up and be super groggy and have to go to the hospital and figure out what you're going to do with your three-year-old kid. There's a lot going on. A lot of fun stuff, moving parts.
Well, enjoy your last couple of nights of sleep through the night, by the way, until crying. I mean, I had to remind you of how things go, but
I'll know soon enough. Yeah. I barely remember how it went.
It was all
kind of
blurred,
blocked
sure,
it out. Yeah, it was.
The first kid, I think, is a
like
blur.
I remember how miserable it was, but I also remember like the sleep part of it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. The rest
everything
of it,
else is cool. Yeah. But the sleep part of it, I remember being like, this is impossible. I don't think I can do it much longer. And then all of a sudden he'll sleep and only wake up one time. And you're like, oh my God, I had 6 hours of sleep last night. And like, that's a big deal. And then you get 7 hours of sleep and you're like, oh my God, I could run all day with this. And then you get a normal night's sleep and you're like, oh, we're back. But you go through these stages of misery to where right when you think you can't do it anymore, all of a sudden the kid that night that you're at your breaking point, he slept through the night or only woke up once. And you're like, wow, that was a breeze. I got 4 hours, then 4 hours. That's eight.
And for all those out there that are considering having a child.
Yeah, did I?
Did Alex just...
I'm underselling it. I'm only pointing out the negative. We don't have enough time. How about this? We don't have enough time to go over all the positives.
That's valid.
How beautiful was
that? Valid. Probably a great way to end this thing.
Yeah, you're right. And all also, right. Jamal Lewis.
Jamal Lewis.
Because we're watching the Browns right now. And I remember him on the Browns and the Ravens. Great running back. You remember him?
Yeah.
Tennessee?
Yeah. I'll go with Tennessee and then... He ran for over 200 yards a couple of times in the NFL.
Oh, he was a monster.
Or he had like, I think even like a 300-yard game or something. Yeah. All right. Mine is in honor of baseball opening day. I'm moving into that realm for just a moment to throw out Mike Bordick.
Oh, okay. Baseball, Brian Giles.
All right.
Nice.
It's a good way. Good way to end it. All right. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.